As you look out your windows, you may notice huge piles of gravel and sand. They were left behind several hundred thousand years ago by the glaciers that covered much of Ohio. Hocking Hills naturalist Patrick Quackenbush.
The glaciers didn't shape this area. They definitely had a major effect to the area. The Wisconsin Glacier, which was the last glacier to invade Ohio, actually stopped 7 miles from Cantwell Cliffs, about dead center between Logan and Lancaster, okay? Where it stopped, to this day, as you're driving down 33, is where the gravel pits are. When those glaciers stopped and they melted, they, of course, had carried massive amounts of stone and gravel locked up in the ice. When the climate suddenly changed and they began to melt and recede, as they melted, they dropped piles and piles and piles of gravel. Hence the result of having the gravel pits there. And also, as you drive down 33, between, I'm going to actually say between Rockbridge and Lancaster, as you get up a little farther north on 33, if you look to either side, you can actually see what are called end moraines. They're little humps, you know, maybe 8 to 10 to 15 feet high, and it almost looks like somebody piled up a dam for a pond or something like that. But if you look closely, there are several of them in a row. Those are called end moraines, and that's exactly what they are. They are where the Wisconsin Glacier ended.
There are other deposits that were created even longer ago, hundreds of millions of years ago. Coal and clay. Marianne Reeves is now retired, but she was the field services coordinator for the Ohio Historic Preservation Office.
Extractive industries were a major industry, the economic base of this area.
This area of the state is basically, it's underlain by a sea of clay.
Again, geography instructor Tom O'Grady.
This region is known as the Oak Hill Fire Clay District.
When you do coal.
Larry Horn grew up in the clay company town of Haydenville.
You got your seam of coal, which varies from 30 inches up to 2 or 3 feet, 4 feet, whatever. Sometimes it's on top and sometimes below a clay binder. And it takes a certain kind of clay to be able to fire it, like in the kilns and stuff. As the coal went, the clay was there, it was a byproduct. So, hey, what are we going to do with it? Let's start making tile and conduits.
There were literally hundreds of brick companies.
And there was a brick plant at the Diamond, one at Logan.
Rodney Gallatin is a retired postmaster. He lives in Buckdell, just north of Nelsonville. But he grew up in Longstreth, where his father was a coal miner.
Star Brick in Nelsonville, brick plants in Athens, Gloucester, Trimble area have brick plants.
Two or three in the city of Athens. The hill behind the Athens Armory, that high wall that you see behind the Athens Armory, that's there because that was all mined for clay. It used to be a sloping hill, but now it's a high wall. There was a brick plant across the area where Hocking Valley Bank.
And those four houses on Stimson Avenue across from the post office were built as attractive worker houses.
Greendale, that was a Cadillac of the brick making for this area and maybe for the country. They made really colorful brick, Greendale.
Here in Athens County, there were a number of brick plants up in Nelsonville, the East Clayton block and the Nelsonville block. Trimble had a brick plant. Gloucester had a brick plant. Logan had its brick plant. Zanesville.
They were everywhere. Since they had coal to fire the kilns and the clay to make the products, in the 1870s and 80s, many towns in the area started using that clay to make bricks and tiles that they would ship out on the canal and later the railroad. By the 1890s, there was a huge demand for clay products. Cities were paving their streets and putting in sewer and water systems. Tile from this area went to faraway cities.
Well, there was about 60 people altogether, different jobs.
Herbert Dunkel lived in New Straitsville. In the 1950s, he worked in one of the last brick plants in the area, the New Straitsville Impervious Clay Company.
First trucks would bring the clay down, dump it in the clay bin. It'd go into the pug mill in the manufacturing part. Then it would mix with the water and stuff, come out in lengths. Then they'd have a man with a cutter there. And then from there, it went to the kilns. Kiln setters would set it in the kiln and then the kiln farm it. Would take about a week for it to dry and bake in there.
The clay was brought in and it was mixed and it was formed and then it was fired in the kilns. And they, of course, had to have the big chimneys for the draft to keep the fire burning, etc.
The work was also dangerous. Larry Horn remembered what it was like in Haydenville.
Heat was a big hazard, you know, working with all the heat around it and everything was steam powered. But it was a disease. It was caused by when they did the glaze on the tile and they had to cut them, and there was no ventilation, and they got the stuff in their lungs, what they called silicosis. And that was similar to black lung. And that was really a hazard, and a lot of men died from that silicosis.
Then they would bring it out, and they would load it on cars. We had a spur there where the railroad train would come in. They'd load it on them cars and also trucks. And then it went all over the world.
Oh, yeah, they shipped them out on the trains.
Oh, they sold them.
They'd sell them everywhere.
I mean, these were shipped out. If you had a railroad, you shipped your bricks. The brick industry was a thriving industry. It's unbelievable how many companies made bricks.
Many towns like Logan and Athens still have brick streets. Route 33 at one time was paved with them. But today, the only clay product company left is Logan Clay. Much of what was once made with clay is now made with plastic or concrete. To see an example of a clay company town, take the short detour off Route 33 through Haydenville. At the exit marked Haydenville, the entire town was built of tiles and bricks produced by the company. And it was the last company town in Ohio. It closed in 1963. There's more about Haydenville in our audio. You should be close to the town of Logan. Logan is the home of the Columbus Washboard Factory, the last washboard manufacturer in the U.S. The washboards are still made on century-old equipment. And they've inspired a special event, the Washboard Music Festival. Often hometown festivals celebrate something that the town is known for. Crooksville and Roseville have a pottery festival. New Straitsville has a moonshine festival. And Logan has a washboard festival.
We decided to start a music festival in town, and everybody was looking for a theme for this festival, and I said, well, how about we use bands that feature washboard musicians? And each year we usually have about 45 musicians here, five major bands, and the main stage is busy the whole time.
Jackie Barrett is one of the organizers of the Washboard Festival. She's also a co-owner and manager of the Columbus Washboard Factory in Logan, Ohio.
Everybody loves it. Now, we do have a few people that don't like the fact that the streets are closed down, but they need to, you know, realize that we're trying to do it to help the community, and most people just love it. You can listen and listen to that music and never get tired of it. It's wonderful. It's ragtime, jazz, Dixieland-style music.
The 104-year-old company makes three sizes of washboards for a variety of purposes.
We use stainless steel for the musicians. We have galvanized metal, which doesn't rust. Then we have a tin, which is it's actually used, but it's also a decorative item. You can put magnets on it. We make a beautiful brass one that can be used. And, of course, we have the glass ones, which we send overseas to any of the countries that do not want a tin item because it will rust.
How much of an overseas market do you have for these?
I would say about 20% of our